evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program, Very Remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, August 12, 2021. Some senior members of the former rebels of the SPLM-IO support a splinter group loyal to General Simon Gatwich.
It was not an intention of the SPLM-IO to fight itself until Dr. Riek Machar ordered his forces to attack Simon Gatwich's forces in Magarenis or in Kidwang the other day. That was the start of the fighting.
And the SPLM-IO's second-in-command, Henry Oduor, resigns from the transitional government of national unity.
The change of allegiance is something that could be able to give more powers to the SPLM-IG. Therefore, I could call this that mostly IO and their team are already at the mercy of the SPLM at this specific time.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's Minister of Mining has resigned. Henry Oduor, who is the Deputy Chairman of the SPLM-IO, tendered his resignation to President Salva Kiir on Wednesday. Some South Sudanese analysts warn that parties to the 2018 peace deal need to address the latest conflict within the SPLM-IO. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Henry Oduor did not offer an explanation for resigning from his ministerial position. In a statement released yesterday, Oduor said he resigned from his post as Minister of Mining. Hours later, another document was released. In it, Oduor and seven other top officials of the SPLM-IO under Riek Machar announced they had switched their loyalty to General Simon Gatwich, Dwal Machar's former chief of staff. Last week, Gatwich declared he had ousted Machar from the leadership of the SPLM-IO and that he was the interim SPLM-AIO leader. Oduor and his colleagues accused Machar of single-handedly manning the affairs of SPLM-IO. Oduor said the group's decision to resign was meant to, quote, steer the movement and chart a more democratic and people's-centered path. Professor Abraham Kuala Nyuan, a political science lecturer at the University of Juba, says the continuous split within Machar's SPLM-IO camp is a threat to the implementation and sustainability of the 2018 peace deal. Kual called for collective efforts from the parties to the deal with the latest challenges facing the unity government.
The change of allegiance is something that could be able to give more powers to the SPLM-IG. Therefore, I could call this that mostly IO and their team are already at the mercy of the SPLM at this specific time. Therefore, whatever the SPLM is saying is what they need to follow, or else they could be able to also to be in trouble.
Kuala says the breakdown in Machar's party widens the weaknesses in the implementation of the peace deal. He says it weakens SPLM-IO's ability to push its partner, the incumbent government led by President Salva Kiir, to effectively implement the agreement.
This might be an opportunity for both the signatories of the peace agreement and the people who are rebelling to seek opportunities of renegotiating the peace agreement after the expiry date, so that now they renew their term and those who are already in would be able to join hand together with those already in the push. So I could see this one as a tactical extension of the current peace agreement.
Kuala says the government should see the split within the SPLM-IO as a direct threat to the implementation of the peace agreement, and the parties must address it together.
The international community should not be able to promote this issue of negotiating with the rebels, because we have got a system that is within the region, which is the parameters that mark anybody that rebels against the government as the negative force. And that is what the region should be able to do, and de-associate themselves and also not to host them within their countries. And this should be the way forward. Otherwise, South Sudan will never move out of this kind of transition.
Machar's acting spokesperson, Pok Both Baluang, is downplaying Oduor's resignation in the party.
I only can assure that Honorable Henry was in contact with His Excellency, the chairman, yesterday before airing out the resignation. And he is still a member of the SPLM-SPLIO. And we are not sure about the other document that you are saying, that all the leadership of the SPLM-IO are aware that General Honorable is still a member of the SPLM-IO and did not defect or join any party.
The United Nations Mission in South Sudan, a special representative of the Secretary General Nicholas Haysom on Thursday expressed concern at the divisions within the SPLM-IO, calling for the SPLM-IO factions and indeed all signatory parties to work together to overcome their differences peacefully. Earlier this week, the regional bloc IGAD warned that the splintering of the SPLM-IO is beyond an intra-party crisis and bears significant immediate and long-term implications for the South Sudan peace deal, and called for both the party factions to observe ceasefire and peacefully resolve the infighting conflict. For VOA News, I'm Wak Simon Wudu in Juba.
Still on SPLM-IO affairs, some senior members of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition have declared their support to a splinter group within the former rebels loyal to South Sudan's first vice president Riek Machar. Goi Joyul Yol is a member of the SPLM-IO National Liberation Council. Yol says SPLM-IO Deputy Chairman Henry Oduor supports General Simon Gatwech's splinter group. He says the dispute within the SPLM-IO leadership has been looming for a long time.
It was not an intention of the SPLM-IO to fight itself until Dr. Riek Machar ordered his forces to attack Simon Gatwech's forces in Magenis, or in Kitgwang, the other day. That was the start of the fighting. But the main issue here is not that the peace agreement is being implemented. We have been with this for the last 3 years. The agreement was signed in 2018. Dr. Riek Machar went to Juba to implement peace, and we applaud him for that. But the peace was not taking its course as usual. You know, the peace is supposed to be finished within the last 3 years. But by yesterday, we finished 3 years already for the peace agreement.
How would the splinter group within the SPLM-IO improve the situation, if that is how your conclusion sounds like?
We believe in a dialogue so that this thing is solved. But it took a very big turn when there was a mobilization of military from one side to attack another side. And we could not just wait, tying our hands and say, look, we cannot help. We are members of that party. We are leaders of that party. And we believe by supporting General Gadwigdal and the military will bring closure to this problem, because people of South Sudan, the members of IO, the supporters, believe that General Gadwigdal wasn't the right path by just asking how the peace agreement is going to be implemented. He has done nothing wrong in that regard.
I've seen a letter on the social media declaration by some senior members of the SPLM-IO, including the deputy chairman, Henry Oduor, expressing their support to General Simon Gatwich. Can you confirm if Henry Oduor is part of this group that is supporting Simon Gatwich?
Henry Oduor has tendered his resignation to the government of South Sudan. You know, he could not do that at all. He cannot declare his support for a splinter group of IO. But he, however, continues to remain to be the deputy chair and deputy commander-in-chief of SPLM-IO. And he has a right to take side at this moment.
Is Henry Oduor, who is the deputy chairperson of the SPLM-IO, supporting General Simon Gatwich?
Exactly. He is, as the most senior member after Dr. Riek Machar, he, with other political group members, including myself and the rest, are supporting the move that Gatwich has taken, especially that the peace agreement have to be implemented, especially that the part of the secure arrangements. You know, he is throwing his weight because he did not have that room in the bigger SPLM-IO. And when he resigned from the government, he found it to be a way to also play a role in solving this crisis.
IGAD Council of Ministers met virtually in Djibouti, and the communique from that meeting talks about a lot of things, and there were concerns about the split within the SPLM-IO. The IGAD countries are asking SPLM-IO to put its house in order, because any crisis within the SPLM-IO threatens the implementation of the peace agreement.
When the first attack happened a few days ago on the force of General Gatwet, well, there were some accusations, counter-accusations from the other side that, you know, they're trying to find out who attacked first. But actually, the SPLM-IO under Riek Machar attacked first, and it resulted in killings of many people. You know, it is not the faction that is McGinnis that is provoking it. It is the contest of getting legitimacy, saying, look, your soldiers have deposed you, and you are trying to regain legitimacy by fighting. That's what exactly is happening. But we are always welcoming engagement as recommended by IGAD.
How would you react to people who will tell you that you are supposed to be a neutral group within your party? Because as it is now, you are siding with General Simon Gatwich, which is making the situation even worse.
We hope for a resolution within the party. You know, we hope that when the genesis of the problem started 3-6 months ago, the leadership would call a meeting to take care of that. But to our dismay, there was never a leadership meeting called except when the fighting happened. You know, for the last 3 years, it took us to urge the leadership to convene meetings, to solve issues. And it is unfortunate that the top leader in that organization works alone.
The SPLM-IO deputy military spokesperson was calling Simon Gatwich and his group peace spoilers. And some critics within the SPLM would tell you that the reason why you're siding with Gatwich is because he did not get a position in the transitional government of national unity. How would you react to this?
The first example would be Henry Odua. He's a minister of mining. How would you resign a minister of mining because you want another position? Another person is Simon Gatwich, who was appointed to be the advisor for peace, and he turns it down. And I don't think that is a legitimate way to say it. But everybody else in this, maybe except me, because I have other engagement. I'm a member of Police Bureau. I never complained why I'm not part of the government. I actually stayed out as part of the government because I want to see the peace agreement being implemented.
That's Goy Joyul-Yol, a member of the SPLM-IO National Liberation Council. He spoke to me from the U.S. city of Nebraska earlier on Wednesday. The South Sudan National Police Service says two people were killed and three others injured during an attack on a passenger vehicle traveling from Juba to Nimle on Wednesday. A passenger who witnessed the attack says he saw dead bodies and helped the wounded. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayer reports from Juba.
Queer Dao, who was traveling in a separate passenger vehicle from Numele, says he saw two bodies at the scene of the attack and helped carry the three wounded to another vehicle.
We saw some people coming running there. So we heard them, what happened there. So they just say that our car has been attacked. They saw people, they don't actually know who shot them.
A few minutes later, Dao says several other vehicles arrived at the scene, which gave Dao and others at the scene courage to continue helping the wounded. Major General Daniel Justin, a spokesperson of the South Sudan National Police Service, says the incident occurred about 12 noon yesterday.
The vehicle was traveling, you know, traveling from Juba to Numele between Mole and Kerepe. The vehicle fell into an ambush, and the vehicle was carrying six passengers. Two died on the spot, and three others wounded. One was missing.
Justin says the police rushed to the scene when they were informed of the attack about 30 minutes after it occurred. He says officers helped rush the wounded people to a hospital in Numele, where they are being treated for gunshot wounds. Justin says the investigation indicates the attackers were in military uniform and were wearing masks. He says no one has been arrested so far. Justin says the police are trying their best to protect commuters who travel between Juba and Numele.
We have escorts who take vehicles from Juba as well as from Numele. But this vehicle was traveling alone without even informing us about this travel. So this is one of the challenges we are facing with the passengers who are using that route, especially the drivers. They used to overcome us and decide to travel sometimes very late hours without our consent.
Following similar attacks on the Juba-Numili Highway, the government decided to provide armed escort to all vehicles traveling on this road. Justin strongly advises all commuters not to travel without military escort on the Juba-Numili Highway.
We are there on the ground and we escort vehicles. But sometimes if you want to travel alone, you let us know so that at least we give you update on your security. And that is our appeal to the drivers to please coordinate with the police and organize forces on the ground.
The highway is a key connector route from Juba to the rest of East Africa and has seen several attacks on passenger vehicles for the past several months. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, some journalists in Sudan advocate for child rights. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
does your family often get together to celebrate holidays?
My family is low income earner. They don't have much for holidays because it requires a lot of money, maybe a lot of traveling.
It's occasional, actually. Maybe end of year or these other celebrations like for different religions like Christmas, Eid. Those are some of the occasions we normally come together as a family.
For me, my family, well, they are not together. They are all scattered in different countries, so getting together is a bit difficult.
Family often get together to celebrate, not even on holidays, but ordinary days, especially on Sundays.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. A group of Sudanese journalists in Khartoum say the right of children in Sudan is being violated due to ignorance. The group says creating awareness about child rights is important during Sudan's transition to democracy. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Sudan's Journalists for Children Association says children have grown up in a society where child rights are considered Western behavior. The group says in many Sudanese communities, child abuse is considered the same thing as disciplining a child. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus in Khartoum, association member Hanim Adam Hussein says child abuse is still practiced in many communities because many people are not aware of child rights. Adam says teaching children about their rights in the school curriculum could help create awareness among communities and reduce the risk of child abuse in society.
The inclusion of child rights in the educational system is crucial, and it is the best way to resolve many challenges related to child rights in our community. Including it in the national curriculum will help them to be aware of their rights and reduce the risk of being abused.
Journalists for Children Association is a non-profit NGO established in 2017 with the aim of advocating for child rights in Sudan. The group is running public service announcements on radio, TV, social media platforms, and in magazines to educate communities about the rights of children. Adam says, despite efforts by authorities to reform laws that guarantee child rights in Sudan, some communities are still not adhering to the new regulations.
Some communities are still engaging children in female genital mutilation practices, despite that authorities have been doing a lot of awareness to end these practices. This violence is still being practiced on children in Sudan. That is apart from violence that the children are facing within families and on the streets and almost everywhere.
In July 2020, the Sudanese transitional government criminalized female genital mutilation, making the practice punishable by up to 3 years in prison. The Personal Status Act was also amended to allow Sudanese women to travel with their children outside the country without seeking prior approval from their spouses. The Sudanese personal status laws govern legal procedures that pertain to family relations, including marriage, divorce, child custody, and inheritance. Adam insists that including information on child rights in the national educational curriculum would change the attitudes of many Sudanese people.
There is a serious need to include these rights into the national curriculum and are taught in schools so that the society is able to make a commitment. Given the fact that there is different violence still being practiced against children in our educational institution, that is why it is very important to teach our children values that can help them live in a reconciled community.
The Acting Secretary General for the Sudan National Council for Child Welfare, Najat Al-Assad, has welcomed the initiative and hope that the suggestions would be included soon into the curriculum.
We are hopeful that we will be able to include all the suggestions into the new curriculum. Even if part of the suggestion is included, until all rights are included into the different syllabus of all levels.
Sudanese women activists have repeatedly asked the transitional government to enact laws that protect children from all forms of violence, abuse, and child marriage. For VOA News, I'm Michael Atit in Khartoum.
From Khartoum, we move back to Juba, where some young men and women in South Sudan say they are eager to engage in agriculture to reduce food shortages in the country. One young health practitioner says she has opened a bakery in Lologo, suburb of Juba, to meet the demand for bread. Today is International Youth Day, and this year's theme is Transforming Food Systems, Youth Innovation for Human and Planetary Health. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
25-year-old midwife Esther Jokudu and two friends started a bakery business in Juba last year. She says before she and her colleagues opened the bakery, there was a high demand for bread in Lologo too and Kasiri. Jokudu says aside from earning extra money to help support her family, she feels good knowing that she is contributing to the country's food industry.
I am proud of what I have done, and it gives me a feeling that I can do something, I can contribute to my country. I can do something. I don't have to, you know, me at my personal level, I can do something and change the community. I have developed relationship with the people around there, and they feel like we have brought development in their area.
Jokudu says even though she and her friends faced a number of challenges when trying to open the bakery, they never gave up. She says young people need to think about how they can personally help change the country.
If I wake up and say that I want to do something for this nation, as little as it is, already I have changed something. By us creating a bakery in Kasiri, we have created jobs for youth the other side. We have given food to the people around. You may think that it is something small, but you have changed the lives of those people because they used to move long distance to go and get bread. But now it has come to them.
Juba resident Luis Loyata, who owns a vegetable farm in Bojur village of Mangala, says the job market across South Sudan is poor, so he started growing and selling watermelon to make a living.
One at times stays for 6 months without a job, and it always frustrates youth, especially people who are not married or people who are with families. It always frustrates a lot, but I found peace with myself in doing this. The product does not come always like you wait maybe for 1 month, things come out. No, it has taught me patience. You wait for two months, you wait for 45 days, then you see something is coming out of it. So you really appreciate your sweat. No matter how small it is, you really value it.
Loyata says South Sudanese young men and women should view hunger as the enemy and fight it by embarking on massive food production at all levels, starting from the village to big towns across the country.
To transform agricultural sector, it is something supposed to be a revolution, an uprising for each and every South Sudanese who really think like hunger is war, hunger is disaster, hunger is sickness, hunger is everything. I actually recommend everyone to do agriculture at his level, even at the household level. Whether you're in town, whether you're in the village, at least you have to contribute to the food security of this country.
Loyata says for this food revolution to occur, the nation's young women and men need to put their pride aside and utilize their energy while they are still strong. Jokudu urges South Sudan officials, investors and NGOs to invest in young people by supporting those who work in the agricultural sector and food processing.
If we come up and we all get into processing of food and ideas, first and foremost, we create jobs for each other. It will prevent this issue of, I don't want this one to work in my area, or these ones are being employed so much, or this, it's going to prevent that one because everybody needs food.
Jokudu says if the government invests in food, citizens will no longer be dependent on imported foods, which are too expensive for the vast majority of South Sudanese families. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. Let us know what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. Send your brief messages and we will air them every Friday. We now leave you with the song Saida by JJD Muzika.
Evangelio Anna Maria Saida
Habibi, gisimu Saida, gisimu tukeli wa usajemi. Hiya jamani kigeni, kituba muhaba tanena, bada mitikaraba.
Itakanze Milan Saida.
Habibi, gisimu Saida, gisimu tukeli wa usajemi. Hiya jamani kigeni, kituba muhaba tanena, bada mitikaraba.
Koroji, koromola, fetiri ya jama.
Nina geni muda tasaba tena alabari kunina matrimania siya kumusafiri vikare tumu nakadi hasa siya marija
malu jete ya mama.
Nina geni muda tasaba tena alabari kunina matrimania siya kumusafiri vikare tumu nakadi hasa siya marija.
Sol bira ku mumaria asal biriza pibet manu jete seida ita ne situ
ia sata walinda la sasena telefonu wele waraka mafi ia lipe asad mama wenu suwalide anabitu wabu kefi ia sata walinda la sasena telefonu wele waraka mafi ia lipa asad mama
Seita, Feki Koromula, Makoreti, Feki Iyal, Feki Muhabadena Fibidaya.
We have been listening to JJD Muzika with the song Saida. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to always wash your hands with soap. Practice social distancing and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Bita bita dilo kuru kuru na bata kona mai.
Yara, mamaria tani taka baramu, mamaria tani taka. Jesus.